Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD as well. TD, what's going on, my man? How are we doing? Do we have TD? Is he there?
I'm here now. I don't know what happened. There he is. It just kind of like crashed.
He's there. All righty, TD. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So obviously some moves made by the Titans yesterday. Kendall Lamb gone. Roger Saffold now gone as well. And Darrington Evans released as well. Your reaction to those three moves, and particularly with the Darrington Evans move, were you surprised that they pulled the plug on him maybe this early?
No, I wasn't surprised by that at all. And just talking to some people in the building, there's a degree of frustration, you know, with the injuries and things. And when he was healthy, he showed some flashes, but that's just an experiment that didn't work out. So it doesn't surprise me at all. It saves him a couple of dollars too. And I think when you look at some of the other things that they have available to them, you know, you could get a guy like that in the draft. You know, there's always running backs that you could get in free agency. So, you know, it's something that really isn't an irreplaceable piece.
Okay, so who do you think is next, TD? I mean, we've talked already. I know, it's just like it's that time of year, right? And it's cuts left and right, and there's been a few. I guess it's like when you see a couple, you expect them all to happen in a cluster. Still no Jenkins. I mean, I've kind of assumed that one. Do you think there's a chance that doesn't happen? I just don't see how it works out if it doesn't.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the next one. But that really, really is going to be a sign that they feel good about Caleb Farley coming back. And it's crazy because, you know, unfortunately, Farley, you know, over the last few years has had a bad string of injuries, and he's so talented. So hopefully for his sake, you know, he'll be back. But I think that's what the Jenkins, if he's released, that's what it tells us. And I think he is the next one to be released. But I feel that they're going to have an opportunity to rework some things with different deals. LaJuan comes to mind. I would imagine possibly Byard. Derrick Henry's, if they rework his, that would be really interesting just as far as, like, how that number would end up being towards the cap next year. So that's one to watch.
TD, how do you view Dylan Raidens at this time? Obviously with Saffold gone, there's a hole now at left guard. Obviously they drafted him to be a tackle. He stepped in and played at left tackle against San Francisco, and they've been pretty non-committal on how they view him in terms of a specific position as they move forward here. How do you view Dylan Raidens and what you think he will be for the Titans as they move forward here?
And that's the thing that's so interesting. When he was selected, all of us felt like, hey, man, this is the right tackle of the future. That's what they picked him for. But immediately, he started working at guard and tackle. So it was one of those things where it seems like they weren't sure which direction he was going to go. And he got most of his work at left guard when they were on the load management program for Roger Saffold. So I would imagine he's someone that they would have slip in at left guard. But you're right, he played left tackle, albeit he got some help going against Nick Bosa, but he held his own for the most part. And I think that was really a crucial thing for him, because this is a guy that they at one point were doing everything they could to make sure that he remained confident and didn't lose his self-esteem. And I think he has it, and he's someone who just had to get stronger and continue to acclimate himself to the league. I think what move they do as far as drafting guard or tackle, I think that's going to really be a tell of what they see with Raiders as far as where he could play. And then you have Aaron Brewer there, you know, as a guard and center, and that leads us to, okay, what do they do with Ben Jones? I know they contacted a few centers, you know, at the combine. They talked to a bunch of guards and tackles as well. So it's just really up in the air as far as what they'll do.
What about at running back? You know, Evans and I kind of thought they would give him one more shot, but yeah, the combine kind of made it clear. But what do you think that group will look like next year, TD? We've talked earlier on the show. I mean, we've been talking about Deontay Foreman. Like, can they get in? I think maybe someone will pay him more than they want to pay him. But Hilliard, I feel like, is a real find that they want to hold on to.
Yeah, I think Hilliard is a guy they want to hold on to. He is someone that, interesting enough, can hit the home run, which is what they wanted with Darrington Evans, you know, as a change of pace kind of look where they take Henry out. They don't have to worry about, you know, completely eliminating that ability to get a big run. So that's where Hilliard, I think, will come into play. I feel that they have to bring Foreman back. And I get he did have a good year, and there may be a team that'll pay him, but the thing is, his style isn't really conducive to, you know, going anywhere. So I think it's going to take a team that's going to be able to use him the way he needs to be used, as far as, like, you know, over and over again getting carries, if he's going to get paid like a primary back, you know. But if he is willing to kind of take a back seat and be a guy that can, you know, continue to contribute, I think that the Titans are the best opportunity for him.
Jerron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, John Robinson's talked a couple of times about looking forward to working with Zach Cunningham and made it sound like they really want him back. Do you want him back if you're a Titans fan at that price, or do you think there's a chance maybe the Titans ask him to rework his deal?
Yeah, I think that's the deal that they'll try to rework, because that's a pretty large number, $10.5 million. And you do want him back, because when you have him and David Long patrolling that second level of the defense, my goodness, it's so much fun watching those guys. And I talked to Cunningham about playing behind Jeffrey Simmons and Autry and those guys and how that frees him up, you know, especially when you got Tart in there too. You know, those guys occupy blocks, and it allows guys like Cunningham alone to get free shots at running backs. And I think that's why you got to have those guys in there, because they roam that second level so well, and they come up and they make plays against the run. So you want those guys together, just that sideline to sideline patrol.
What's been your shock level this week, TD, on the quarterback carousel in this league? Hey, we're all taking guesses on the Colts and what the heck they're going to end up with. What would you say on that?
Yeah, well, you know, the Aaron Rodgers thing, we kind of knew that he was going to end up back with the Packers, no matter how much Jarrett Stillman campaigned for him to end up in Nashville here. We knew what was going to happen there, but it, you know, Russell Wilson to Denver, that one floored me. I had no idea that was happening, and that was a big deal. But even the Carson Wentz trade, I was actually there in the studio when that trade was when it broke, and it was just, I was really surprised by that, because I thought that they would, even though they had some pretty damning comments on Wentz at the combine as far as Chris Ballard is concerned, I thought just maybe they'll run it back with him. But they quickly, you know, ended that Wentz experiment. And I guess Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know, Marcus Mariota maybe. I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback, but I'm going to be watching, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. TD, speaking of Russell Wilson, what do you think that move does for the Broncos in the AFC picture?
Well, I think it makes them right there with some of the other teams. I don't know that they're a Super Bowl contender, because there's still more to be had there. And quietly, Noah Fant being involved in the trade, I think that kind of that hurt the Broncos a bit, because, you know, he's a premier tight end, in my opinion. He's a guy that, you know, made a lot of big plays for them. So now they're going to have to find another tight end. Fortunately, this is a deep class. But I think really if they could get that defense right, you know, that's the main thing, because you're going to have to be able to defend against those other three quarterbacks in that division that are all very, very good.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be a wild it's just going to be a wild conference. You know, that division, yeah. The conference loaded at QB. So the Titans, you know, in this situation of, you know, now trying to just be better on offense. If you had a tight end of the guys, and we're seeing some, you know, some of the top shelf guys be you know, tagged and whatever. Is there one guy in there that the Titans could possibly find the money to go get that you would look at as a perfect fit here?
Yeah, I actually have a post coming out tomorrow in regards to that, but I'll give you a little preview. I think O.J. Howard would be a really good fit. I talked to Anthony Beck this week, our former NFL tight end. He played with the Jets and Bucks, among other teams. I talked to him about Hayden Hurst, and he said that he feels Hayden Hurst would be a really good fit because he's kind of like a jack of all trades. So, you know, those are a couple options. I like the O.J. Howard one just because, you know, I picture him running those seam routes and just being a big, huge target for Ryan Tannehill to throw the ball to. And I think you could get him on a cheap one-year deal, whereas I would imagine he's not going to, you know, break the bank with a contract because of the injury history, right? So you get him on a one-year deal, 1 year, $3 million, $4 million. There's a lot of upside to that, and, you know, you could get something from that because he could block as well, and I think he's a matchup guy that would help make that vertical passing game a lot better.
D.D., last thing for you here. Obviously, good day for Harold Landry the other day. 5 years, $87.5 million, yeah. 52.5 of which is guaranteed. What did you think of the deal for Harold Landry, and how important was it in your mind to get him back in the fold?
Yeah, in essence, it's a three-year deal. I think it is a really good deal. And at the end of the day, he is somebody that needed to come back. And in my opinion, and I wrote about this, it's being great around Ryan Tannehill. And I feel like you don't have to be great only on offense around him. I think you need to be great on defense. And what better way to help your quarterback than to terrorize the opposing one? And I think, you know, that front four, 32.5 out of 43 sacks last year, those guys work hand in hand. And ironically, Landry actually said that, you know, the hierarchy is, you know, the quarterback and then those who affect the quarterback. And I think we have that front, they're really able to do that. So it's a good deal for both the Titans and Landry. I feel that he deserves it, you know, just as much as he plays and how many different things they have him do. And I actually really liked getting to talk to him yesterday. I mean, he spoke for 16 minutes. That's a world record for Harold Landry. So good job there as well.
No question about it. TD, great stuff as always, man. Hope you have a great weekend. I think it's clear the NFL never has an offseason. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Absolutely, you as well. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll come back. We'll react to what TD had to say there. Get to more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Row here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We're live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Teron Davenport for joining us in the last segment. Terry Crisp, Preds TV analyst, coming up at 8:30. We'll get into another big win last night for the Nashville Predators here in just a few minutes. Right now, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe from Columbia texting in says, what about Deshaun Watson to the Colts? What about Deshaun Watson to the Colts? Now, it does, I guess we could start to get some clarity on the Deshaun Watson situation today as he's going through his stuff down in Houston today. That's supposed to be getting rolling today on the indictment side of it. So we'll see what happens on that front. Again, I would be just absolutely floored if Houston traded Deshaun Watson to the Colts. And if you're the Colts, like right now, what sort of weaponry do you have to pull that off? Like, you don't have a first round pick this year. So how are you making that trade if you're the Colts? I don't know. I'm not saying they couldn't do it. I don't give the idea of Deshaun Watson to the Colts much thought.
I mean, no, it's not happening. I mean, look, I mean, we can, it's very easy to make fun of the incompetence of Houston, but they do know the three other teams in their division.
They do.
I think, I'm going to make the assumption. You know what assuming does.
That's true.
But I will make an ass out of myself, and if they don't know who's in their division.
Robert in Nashville texting in says, does Aaron Rodgers signing back with the Packers make Jordan Love movable? I think so.
Yeah.
Now, the Packers have not come out and said, hey, Jordan Love is available yet. Now, we're also, you know, 2-3 days removed from the original report at this time. There's been no official signing yet of Aaron Rodgers either. So, you know, I don't guess that pen has been to paper yet, Rex Road. Maybe there's still a chance.
Interesting. I believe I remember a Rappaport report that said it had been signed.
Yeah. It's not been announced by the Green Bay Packers.
What's the problem? What's the holdup? What's going on here?
I don't know.
I mean, is there really, like, in seriousness, is there, like, Packer Twitter starting to freak out?
No.
Okay. That's too bad.
I mean, he said he was coming back, so.
Yeah. And his word is his bond, you know.
Yeah, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Wasn't going to drag it out either. And I guess technically it's still being drug out. But, hey, whatever. He do whatever he wants. It's my QB, baby.
That's right. You don't care. You love him.
I do now. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt texting in says, you are letting Jerry Jones off the hook. Do you see this Jerry Jones stuff?
You know, I'll be honest. Like, the bandwidth in you know, this time of year, it's tough. So, honestly, I saw the headline. And I have not read anything about it. You're talking about the claim that he has a child out with a former – someone who worked there? Is that what it was?
Yeah. So, apparently, like, this woman is suing Jerry Jones and alleging that he paid – the woman's mother to conceal that he was her biological father. And I've not read too much about it, but yeah, that's essentially what's going on. It's a 25-year-old woman suing Jerry Jones, alleging that the billionaire paid her mother hundreds of thousands of dollars in 1996 to conceal that he was the girl's biological father, a secret that the lawsuit says she has carried her entire life. This coming from an ESPN article on ESPN.com.
I mean, it sounds like a great episode of the show Dallas. So
it does. You know, also sounds like, sure, you know, you could find Jerry Jones on the stage of the Maury Povich show too.
No, awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Let's get those test results out there. I mean,
you are not the father.
That would be absolutely incredible TV.
Oh, I'd watch.
I'd if be Jerry glued Jones to went the on screen.
Maury Povich, I'd watch.
Or Jerry Springer, right?
Oh yeah, that'd be good too.
Well, yeah, they made sure to have, like, a fist fight. So I don't know if Jerry was up for that right now, but yeah, Springer made sure they'd get a fist fight going. So to the texter, like, I understand this is, you know, it's Jerry Jones, a public figure, it's newsworthy, but I only because of you are we talking at all about that. I couldn't care less. Sorry.
We think this information was leaked by Mike McCarthy. Then we could really start talking about it.
Maybe Dave Campo.
Maybe so. just to make sense. Shout out to Jerry, though. Hope that situation works out pretty well.
There's always something going on down there. Dallas, Knott's Landing, all that stuff.
Got a text that says, would Gardner Minshew be a game manager and a viable option for the Colts? What about that? A little Minshew mania in Indianapolis.
I mean, Minshew is, to be very fair to Minshew, like in the pantheon of backup quarterbacks in the NFL right now,
it's pretty good.
I'd take him, you know, and he is a guy. He's like, hey, go out there and make play. He makes plays.
Now, what about eventually starting quarterbacks in the NFL?
Well, no, but I mean, but he'd be a good backup for most teams. He'd be an upgrade at the two. So yeah, I say Minshew and Mariota, and let them, you know, they used to be division rivals. How about put them both in Indy together? Let them battle it out.
Hey, could be an interesting strategy there. Yeah, I'm here for it too. I don't know if he's going to be the starter though. Like he did, he came in there last year, started a game, I believe in Washington. I can't remember if it was Washington or not, actually. Maybe it was New York, but he won.
That's right. No, he's. He's had some really good Sundays in this league, man.
He has. And then just the revenge tour against the Jags then would be something, too, if he's in the same division.
He's like a pocket Fitz magic or something, you know. He doesn't know, he doesn't put up quite the numbers, but he's kind of like that. Like, you know, for a little while, you're like, ooh, okay. And then, yeah, then it sort of, you know, but honestly, like, I mean, they were terrible. He got hurt and all that stuff. They draft Trevor Lawrence. So, of course, he's out there. I bet you we see a fair amount of Minshew starts various teams, and usually when someone gets hurt or whatever in the next few years, he probably wins a few football games for you.
I'd say so, too. Like, I could see Gardner Minshew being a backup quarterback in the league for, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this, though. If he's the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts next year, I would take that right now if I'm a Titans fan.
There's a lot of intriguing options for that right now, right? It's like now that you don't have a different quarterback to dream of, if you're a Titans fan, you can dream of all the bad quarterbacks the Colts could have.
Yes. Maybe that's of solace to some degree. We'll continue the conversation. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Terry Crisp coming up on the other side. We'll get his thoughts on another big win last night for the Nashville Predators. The Players' Championship is back with one of the best fields in golf, and now you can take a shot at the Island Green with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get 30-1 odds on Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, or Xander Schauffele to make the cut at the Players. That's right. If any of those players make the cut at TPC Sawgrass, you win $150 on a $5 bet. The Players' Championship is underway. Big day yesterday for John Rahm as well, but you can take it any way you want to take it. Step up to the tee and take a swing at betting the Players' Championship. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app with promo code ROB to get 30-1 odds on JT, Colin Morikawa, or Xander Schauffele to make the cut at the Players. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. A max bet of $5. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the legendary Terry Crisp, Predators TV analyst, brought to you by Copper Branch. Eat, think, change. Crispy, what's going on? How we doing?
The call dropped really quick, getting Crispy back on the line.
All right. We'll get Crispy back on as soon as possible. We can't have calls dropping on Terry Crisp. You can do it on me. You can do it on Rex Road. Can't do it on Terry Crisp.
A legend.
A legend for sure. It's all good. We'll get Crispy here in just a second. Big win for the Preds last night. That's three in a row for the Predators. Obviously, last week, they destroyed San Jose, 8-0. Big win against Dallas on Tuesday. 4-1 win last night against the Ducks, Joe, in a game where Predators really controlled it from start to finish in that game. Anaheim had, you know, kind of a run there in the second period, the second half of the second period, where they were starting to turn the play around a little bit, got a couple of odd man rushes, had a breakaway opportunity in there as well that UC Saros made a big save on. But really, other than that, thought the Predators did a really good job. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Terry Crisp. Crispy, what's going on?
Okay, he was on and then it dropped again. I'm so sorry, guys.
That's all right. We'll continue to work on
Crispy. We're sorry, Crispy.
Crispy, you never know what he might be doing. Like, he could be in the woods somewhere.
Maybe that's it. Maybe is that it? Is he out like trout fishing, and that's why we can't keep the call?
Maybe so. Big win though for the Preds. That's three in a row, and now 3 points clear of the Stars, 7 points clear of the Ducks after that win last night. So, getting a little distance in between yourself and the Ducks. St. Louis wins last night. Minnesota wins last night as well. So now 1 point behind Minnesota, 3 points behind the Blues. Those are also your next two opponents, if you're the Nashville Predators. Joe, a lot of things stand out to me from the game last night. Number one, Matt Duchene and Philip Forsberg continue to produce. 2 goals from Matt Duchene last night, 1 goal from Philip Forsberg, 3 points from both of them. But also, you're talking about a team that has given up 2 goals in their past 3 games, playing really well defensively right now.
Yeah, and just seems like they've really – it takes something like this, and I don't know if this is what it is, but it just seems like the Seattle game was kind of like, okay. I mean, they'd had some rough performances before that, and they were kind of up and down, but just seems like the Seattle game was a little bit of like, okay, guys, let's revisit this. Everyone, let's focus on what wins for this team. How does this team need to play to win? And I think you're seeing exactly what they need to do since that game. So it's good timing because that's the kind of games they're going to be in a lot. I mean, this week there's two more grinders to go. Big ones, too.
Yeah, no question about it. Against St. Louis and Minnesota coming up this weekend. Matt Duchene, 2 goals last night, now at 29 on the season. So 29 goals for Matt Duchene. Philip Forsberg scores last night as well. He's at 28. So, look, the franchise record is 34 for Victor Arvidsson. I think both of those guys are probably going to end up passing 34. Question is, who gets there first? Right now, Duchene with a slight lead. He's been on fire as of late over the last week and a half or so. But two more from Duchene last night. That combination of those two, obviously you're keeping that together the rest of the year. But, you know, it really hasn't mattered that they've been with Granlund or if they've been with Johansson. Wherever those two go, that line looks pretty good. And that Johansson line was really, really good last night.
Johansson's like, yes, this is a good formula, everybody. Yes. Keep it going. Yeah, but like the passing last night, you know, you mentioned, you know, the power play kind of, you know, back and forth there. Great pass from Duchene to Forsberg later. And you get Sissons just ripping one. So some good sights. But, I mean, Forsberg and Duchene, it's just – it really is – as we get close to that 60-game mark, it's something else to think about how consistent they've been. I mean, you know, Duchene has been so much better than I think anyone expected. Yep. And maybe the expectation should have been higher. But, I mean, based on last year, how could they have been all that high? I mean, is this going to be Matt Duchene's best career as a hockey – or best year as a hockey player?
I think there's a very good chance that it might be. And I don't know how you could have seen that coming. Like, I can understand seeing a bounce back coming and him being good. He's already at 54 points in 53 games and 29 goals. Like, he very well could end up scoring 40 this year easily.
It's truly it's just impressive, you know? And again, this is why when you think about that, and even like how he kind of like emerged in the playoffs, I mean, he had some good moments in the playoffs last year. You know, that's where, if you can figure some things out, I mean, you know, you can look at this team and see where it could have success in the postseason. And if you keep playing like this as you get closer to the deadline, because it's always tied to that, and you're winning, and you know, all of a sudden you're pushing for, you know, you're pushing St. Louis. You have a chance to get right there in their grill this weekend. Yeah, that's where if that's the case and it's going to continue for 10 days, then I think you're taking on Forsberg as a rental if need be.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that happens. Now, what I'm interested to see is, you know, we obviously you score 4 last night. One of them is an empty netter from Matt Duchene. Colton Sissons with a laser beam last night, but the other two come from Duchene and Forsberg, the first two goals of the game. Janot had one taken away on a play where it was apparently offside. I've still yet to see a definitive angle that showed me the play was offside. And like, if you have to look at a play, if you go to replay and you have to look at it for 5 minutes, how definitive is it that it's offside? Like, it drives me nuts in the NHL that when they do this stuff, but that's neither here nor there. Janot gets a goal taken away from him last night on a play that's offside. But the reason I bring that up, you now got Forsberg and Duchene playing with Johansson. Where is the offense going to come from throughout the rest of the lineup on a consistent basis? You know, you've had Tolvanen and Cunning with Granlund. You know, I think they've had some good looks the last couple of games, but it hasn't gone for them. And then in the third period last night, Granlund's playing with Cousins and Thomas, and Michael McCarron is with Tolvanen and Cunning. So I don't know exactly what the combos are going to look like there. We talked to Dan Lambert yesterday. Some of it's going to be matchup driven as they come down the line as well. I love the way that Granlund and Tolvanen and Cunning play defensively. I think they've really done a great job the last couple of games of shutting people down, but eventually you need them to be able to chip in offensively as well.
Yeah. I mean, shut down forward Ellie Tolvanen, you know, as we all figured would be the case. You know, a goal or two would be nice. But again, it's credit to him, because he had to work hard to get himself, you know, to play in this league, like a lot of people do. But I mean, it's a pretty significant transformation. And then also, is the dam going to be broken at some point for him offensively? A well placed goal here and there just from him would be big for this team and for him.
Chris on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If the arena can play almost the entire song of Let It Be, then the review is taking way too long when it comes to the review of the offside play. Yeah, it's a lot of Beatles being played in there.
Listen, I understand the complaints, but as someone who just watched three college basketball refs call 54 fouls last night, like, you know, it's all relative, okay?
It is true. But, you know, you've made your stance on college basketball officiating pretty clear. It's pretty bad. I will say, NHL's had a few rough ones the last couple of nights. I talked about the Ovechkin hook the other night.
Nah, that was bad.
That was bad. Austin Matthews last night basically got almost drugged down to the ice on a game winner by Arizona in overtime last night, and he started just yelling. I mean, just berating the official coming off the ice. And I could promise you Austin Matthews is probably going to get fined here in the next few days. And my response, hey, maybe instead of worried about fining the players, why don't you fix your officials for missing calls right in front of it? Like this, you can't be showing up the officials like that. How about you make sure the officials get the call right? That'd be great if you're the NHL.
I like how this has turned into a mini Rob rant. Just keep going on the officials, you know. You're not wrong.
I don't even know how to say it, FCC clear. The softness of going of just the, we got to protect the officials at all costs. Like, we can't let anybody say anything bad about the officials. It drives me nuts in pro sports. I get it. Like, you don't want players and coaches just getting up to the microphone after every game and just going after the officials all day long. So yeah. I'm not saying it necessarily needs to be open season on them, but my goodness, let's be a little tougher than this when it comes to officiating.
I know. And it's tough because especially, you know, people who are youth officials get mad about this stuff. And I understand, but like, there's a balance here of they are hugely important. They deserve respect. They deserve all the tools they can have and resources they can have to be good. But they're so important to all of these sports. And that's what, I mean, again, this is where pro and college is different. Like, they should be valued more. And yes, they should be held accountable more publicly. Yes, they should.
Well, guess what?
They should talk a lot more than they do.
Well, guess what? We've talked about gambling a lot this week. Gambling's pretty big in sports right now. I mean, that's a direct result last night in the Arizona-Toronto game of officiating screwing up and costing a game. Like, there's no way that game winner should have counted. But it did. So, I don't know how I got down that rabbit hole, but I did. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game this Sunday night for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. You can have drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Minnesota Wild as well. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 6 p.m. this Sunday. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Gigantic weekend coming up for the Nashville Predators. They'll take on St. Louis tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Travel to take on the Minnesota Wild on Sunday. So those two teams directly in front of the Predators in the standings right now. Good weekend against those teams. You're right there in the mix for a top three spot as well in the Central Division. So big one coming up this weekend. Couple of big ones coming up this weekend for the Nashville Predators. They've won three in a row. They'll go for win number four in a row coming up tomorrow against the St. Louis Blues. Joe, you're in Tampa Bay for the SEC tournament. What a win last night for Vanderbilt. They win the other night against Georgia in a game where they didn't have to expend a whole lot of energy in that game. Alabama last night looked like they were about to put Vanderbilt out of the tournament. And then Vanderbilt makes a run in the second half. As you mentioned, lots of fouls in that game, lots of free throws in that game. So wasn't necessarily the most exciting watch, but Vanderbilt gets it done at the end of the day, and they'll take on Kentucky later tonight. Pretty impressive run so far for Vanderbilt.
It was, I mean, they end the game 46-25 over, again, an Alabama team that's been ranked most of the year as a team that beat Gonzaga and Baylor this year. So it's a very talented Alabama team, a very inconsistent Alabama team, obviously. But I thought it was over. Vanderbilt's down 15, and just not much going right for them. You got foul trouble for Rodney Chapman and Liam Robbins, the two guys who, of course, have been hurt most of the year. And Chapman is over on the bike, and I'm kind of watching him, and he hasn't been in the game in a long time. And I'm like, man, that doesn't look great. It looks like this may be it for him. He gave it a run. He's playing on a torn hamstring. He's had both meniscuses repaired in the last few months. And, it's a 6-year college basketball. He comes in the game, and he hits a three. He gets hit on a three, hits all three free throws, gets a huge defensive rebound. Scottie Pippen's, in the lane, sort of hanging in the air, about to take a shot, and just bails out with a pass to Chapman with the game tied in the last couple minutes. And he has to take this high looping three, and he swishes it. I mean, and then he hits free throws. He had 12 points to basically pull the game out for Vanderbilt. And they are now 9-3 with Rodney Chapman active. So it's kind of, I guess if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you could look at last night and look at what's happened this year and say, gosh, it is too bad, because this is an NCAA tournament quality team with everybody there. But you also look at 17-15, it's obviously progress, and it's also an interesting little situation tonight, taking on the Wildcats.
It is. This will be 3 games and 3 nights for Vanderbilt. So you're starting to get to the point where maybe you worry about fatigue settling in there. Although, as I said, the Georgia game, you're lucky on that standpoint. You didn't really have to play anybody, and overextend them in that Georgia game. So maybe it's not quite as bad, but this is an interesting game for them tonight. Kentucky's favored by 11.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll get to our weekend winners picks coming up next hour at 9:30. But I'm interested to see if Vanderbilt can hang around tonight and make it a game. And, if they can, do they have enough coming down the stretch left in the tank to keep it close late in the second half? I'm fascinated to see what happens on that front. Because at some point, the 5 games in 5 days thing, is so hard to pull off, obviously, just because of if you're playing 5 games in 5 days, probably means you've not had a great season up until that point. Right. And also means that, that's a lot of basketball to be playing in a short amount of time. But I don't know. Vanderbilt, they've got to be confident right now with the way the last 2 games have gone for them.
Yeah, they're dangerous. Pippen gets to the line, last night, both sides were complaining the entire night, because it was just – They just called too many fouls. But, now Pippen does a great job of selling fouls. And so Bama fans are upset about that. But honestly, I think most of the fouls they called on Bama, they fouled him. He's good at drawing them. He had a bad shooting night, but then he had some huge buckets late, a couple getting in the lane. He's tough to deal with. So they are dangerous. And, of course, we also had the Pippen, So Monday night, he's at the presser, and he says they're a very beatable team about Alabama, okay? So I was like, it's close to trash talk. I guess it's not a lie, but he said they wanted payback because, of course, they blew a game. They should have beat Alabama at home a couple weeks ago. So then before the game, an Alabama assistant coach, and I never got a name, but the Alabama assistant coach apparently – said, I'm going to have to go back and read my tweets on this to get the wording right, because I was tweeting during the press conference last night. But an Alabama assistant coach said, at least within earshot of the players, you want it, you're going to get it. So, yeah, well, so Pippen told us that last night after the game, that he said that, and then he was just like, it was going to get the win. Yeah, you asked for it, so you're going to get it. The exact wording that Pippen told us. Right. Those Stackhouse said when they were coming to the presser, he's like, yeah, we were talking about that quote from Scotty last night. And Sagan's like, well, look, nobody here is unbeaten, so technically everybody is beatable.
That is true.
Yeah, so he's not wrong. But then Nate Oates later comes in, and he's asked by one of the Alabama writers about that quote. And he's like, I mean, you know, it's funny because I think some coaches in a situation like that, but well, I don't know about anything about that. So, but this is what Nate Oates said. He just said he didn't know. He said, probably not something we want our assistants doing, talking to the other team's players for the game. Probably not the smartest thing to be doing, end quote. So Nate Oates is just like, really? Again, with all of it, you know, does it matter? I mean, the Alabama players said that it pumped them up, and they did come out early and played great D, but were they going to come out lackadaisical otherwise? I don't know. But Pippen was asked about Kentucky. I asked Pippen about Kentucky, and he's like, yeah, we want payback. And then I was like, and do you have any – I didn't say this, but it was like, anything you want to say about Kentucky? Yeah. He did not say they were very beatable. But that whole thing was interesting, and it was chippy. It was a very chippy game.
Drama.
A lot of talking. Yeah, and Miles Stoudey, who, by the way, I don't know if this was caught on television – but Miles Stoudey, who was huge last night, he took 10 shots, he hit 6. They were all threes. And honestly, a couple of those threes kind of just kept them hanging on in the game. Then he had the huge one late. But Miles Stoudey is a trash talker. So after the game, he did the I guess it's like the Karate Kid, right? Is that like what Bama did at Auburn?
Yeah.
It's the Daniel LaRusso, right? The Karate Kid. Yeah. So he as soon as the game ended, he looked at the Alabama bench and did the Karate Kid at midcourt. And then he got in the handshake line.
Well, as we know, things could happen in the handshake line this year in college basketball. My goodness.
Yeah.
Jerry's wearing a suit, so it won't.
That's true.
Well, okay, so someone did say after the fact that Stackhouse and somebody had some words. I asked Stackhouse like about the chippiness, and he's like, you know, it's – and like he said, I mean, yeah, it's heated. Teams are competitive. But I see this is the stuff we need more of in sports. We need more Jack Eichel throwing shade at an entire city. And we need more trash talk and mockery. As long as it doesn't lead to fisticuffs.
Yes, I'm here for it. In hockey, I don't care if it leads to fisticuffs. That's fine. But other sports, let's hold off on that.
That's true.
John the Mailman on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Michelle is going to be beside herself when Vandy dominates, in all capital letters, Kentucky.
Ooh.
There's a lot of people coming after Michelle today on the text line.
I wish you guys
could be easy.
I wish you guys this could see my body language because I am just like wincing. Like Nate tweeted at us last night, like this fire gift thing with a person in flames or something like that. And it was like, oh, Michelle's going to be already stressed. I woke up this morning and I'm just very stressed. And now that my layover is 4 hours, I'm just going to be pacing. The whole time, the balls are going to win.
You might be able to find some, you know, a TV in the airport maybe that's got the Kentucky game on.
Oh yeah, but of course I board at like 7:45.
Oh,
so that's not good. It'll be halftime, and I'm getting on the plane, and I'm going to be like breathing heavy. Joe, you better have these tweets to a T because I'm going to be going to your Twitter. Okay.
Yeah, get in there, Rex Road.
I'm not a huge play-by-play tweeter. I mean, I suppose I could tweet a little bit more.
Listen, you got to help the show out, aka my mental health.
But in the meantime, well, you follow all your Kentucky media, I'm sure, right?
Well, yes.
Like Kyle Tucker he'll be sitting right next to me. He'll be tweeting more, and he'll have more of the Kentucky perspective on things. So
that is true.
Yeah. I may just be making fun of Kentucky with my tweets.
Yes, probably.
So you'll be able to follow along. I mean, it is a great thing about Twitter. At least you have that.
Adam in Portland texting in says, it's funny watching this online. Joe's eyes get so excited talking about college basketball. It's the same way I get when people mention the Titans or Mexican food or down comforters. This is coming from Adam in Portland on the text line. Joe, are your eyes lighting up now that we're talking about college basketball? I need to pay more attention to this.
Is that what's going on? Like college basketball comes, I'm like, so anyway, guy, it was amazing. So last night was this incredible game. Sorry, you have to be watching on the Zoom to see me doing that. That was kind of freaky too, as I looked at myself. I didn't realize that I was any different, but it's nice to talk about college hoops.
Yeah, you definitely get excited. Same with Robbie when he talks about the NHL.
Yeah, there's a skip in his step when Rex Rhodes starts talking about college basketball. No question about it.
Nobody likes it. There's nobody in this town who wants to talk about college basketball.
Speak to that point, Jacob from Murfreesboro texting in says, what's up with Jared's obsession with crapping on college hoops? I was at the Preds game last night, but I guarantee you more people in Nashville watched the SEC tournament last night than people who watched the Preds game. I don't know about that. I probably wouldn't have gone to the Preds game if it conflicted with a UT tournament game. I guess when you're a Vandy / Louisville fan, you have to try and act like you're indifferent towards the sport. It's coming from Jacob from Murfreesboro. Throwing a little shot at Stillman at the end there.
Stillman's a Vandy fan?
I think he grew up kind of sort of pulling for Vandy in basketball, yeah.
Okay. I mean, Louisville.
He did go Louisville.
Well, I mean, that's probably a fair point on Louisville and Jared.
L's down.
I think especially this time of year, like, I don't necessarily disagree with Jared. I don't really know how many people around here care about college basketball in January. I know you hate it. I just don't think
now you get excited. Care. Now look at you getting excited talking about how much you hate it.
This time of the year, I like talking college basketball. I'm interested in college basketball. I'm just saying I don't know how much the casual sports fan in January in the city of Nashville cares about college basketball. That's all I'm saying.
I think it really is just depends on your team. I think some years Tennessee fans are talking about it in January because they got a really good team, like in recent years, right?
Like last year when they were behind Gonzaga and Baylor. And then it went off the rails.
Yeah, I mean, but seriously, like there was a lot of excitement. And then by mid-February, it was like, oh, never mind. The team's not very good. I think right now, yes, you're right. This time of year, the casual fan, totally different now versus the rest of the year. But you know, there are and I'm not even talking about the Kentuckys and the Blue Bloods, but there are fan bases like big, especially like Power Five schools when they have good programs, they're into it all year. They're into it all season.
And look, the casual fan cares this time of year for no other reason than the bracket. Like,
right.
I'm all in the bracket stuff. Bring it on, man.
Yeah.
So
yep.
We recognize that people care about college basketball here on the program. Retro doesn't believe me. That's okay. We'll continue the conversation on college basketball when we come back. Look at Tennessee's matchup tonight. Look how excited Rexroad is. It's going to be a good segment coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. Also, what are the chances that Tennessee could end up maybe as a number two seed in the NCAA tournament? We'll get to that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.